Exodus chapter 26. This is the reading of God's word. Moreover, you shall make the tabernacle with 10 curtains of fine twisted linen, and blue and purple and scarlet material. You shall make them with cherubim, the work of a skillful workman. The length of each curtain shall be 28 cubits, and the width of each curtain 4 cubits. All the curtains shall have the same measurements. 5 curtains shall be joined to one another, and the other 5 curtains shall be joined to one another. You shall make loops of blue on the edge of the outmost curtain in the first set, and likewise you shall make them on the edge of the curtain that is outermost in the second set. You shall make 50 loops in the one curtain, and you shall make 50 loops on the edge of the curtain that is in the second set. The loops shall be opposite each other. You shall make 50 clasps of gold and join the curtains to one another with the clasps so that the tabernacle will be a unit. Then you shall make curtains of goat's hair for a tent over the tabernacle. You shall make 11 curtains in all. The length of each curtain shall be 30 cubits, and the width of each curtain 4 cubits. The 11 curtains shall have the same measurements. You shall join 5 curtains by themselves, and the other 6 curtains by themselves, and you shall double over the 6th curtain at the front of the tent. You shall make 50 loops on the edge of the curtain that is outermost in the first set, and the 50 loops on the edge of the curtain that is outermost in the second set. You shall make 50 clasps of bronze, and you shall put the clasps into the loops and join the tent together so that it will be a unit. The overlapping part that is left over in the curtains of the tent, the half curtain that is left over shall lap over the back of the tabernacle, the cubit on one side and the cubit on the other. Of what is left over in the length of the curtains of the tent shall lap over the sides of the tabernacle on one side and on the other to cover it. You shall make a covering for the tent of ram skins dyed red and a covering of porpoise skins above. Then you shall make the boards of the tabernacle of acacia wood standing upright. 10 cubits shall be the length of each board, and 1.5 cubits the width of each board. There shall be 2 tenons for each board, fitting to one another. Thus you shall do for all the boards of the tabernacle. You shall make the boards of the tabernacle 20 boards for the south side, and you shall make 40 sockets of silver under the 20 boards, 2 sockets under one board. For it is 2 tenons and 2 sockets under another board for its 2 tenons. And for the second side of the tabernacle on the north side, 20 boards. And there 40 sockets of silver, 2 sockets under one board and 2 sockets under another board. For the rear of the tabernacle to the west, you shall make 6 boards. You shall make 2 boards for the corner of the tabernacle at the rear. They shall be double beneath, and together they shall be complete. So its top to the first ring, thus it shall be with both of them. They shall form the 2 corners. There shall be 8 boards with their sockets of silver, 16 sockets. 2 sockets under one board and 2 sockets under another board. Then you shall make bars of acacia wood, 5 for the boards of one side of the tabernacle, and 5 bars for the boards of the other side of the tabernacle, and 5 bars for the boards of the side of the tabernacle for the rear side of the west, to the west. The middle bar in the center of the boards shall pass through from end to end. You shall overlay the boards with gold and make their rings of gold as holders for the bars, and you shall overlay the bars with gold. Then you shall erect the tabernacle according to its plan, which you have been shown in the mountain. You shall make a veil of blue and purple and scarlet material and fine twisted linen. It shall be made with cherubim, the work of a skillful workman. You shall hang it on four pillars of acacia, overlaid with gold, their hooks also being of gold, and four sockets of silver. You shall hang up the veil under the clasps, and shall bring in the ark of the testimony there within the veil. And the veil shall serve for you as a partition between the holy place and the holy of holies. You shall put the mercy seat on the ark of the testimony in the holy of holies. You shall set the table outside the veil and the lampstand opposite the table on the side of the tabernacle toward the south, and you shall put the table on the north side. You shall make a screen for the doorway of the tent of blue and purple and scarlet material and fine twisted linen, the work of a weaver. You shall make five pillars of acacia for the screen and overlay them with gold, their hooks also being of gold. You shall cast five sockets of bronze for them. Amen. Please be seated. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this precious time of hearing your word. We pray that you would bless us, pour out your grace, that we may be able to understand your word. And not only understand it, but let us believe and let us obey. And Father, we pray that we will be the witness of your truth being truly true. You have told us that our faith comes from hearing of your word, and we pray as we hear your word that our faith will grow, that we may a witness to the whole world that your word is truth. Oh Father, we pray that you and you alone will receive all the glory. Pray all this in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Like I said, we will look at this chapter for next 3 weeks, including today. And if you read the rest of the book of Exodus, then you will realize that what we are looking at in chapters 25 through 30 is repeated almost verbatim in chapters 35 to 39. Since those chapters are almost identical, we are not going to have sermons on chapters 35 through 39. But we have to ask ourselves, what is this purpose? What is the purpose of this repetition? Well, first of all, whenever the Bible repeats itself, we know that the Bible is speaking of something that is very important. However, here, by repeating, God wants to show us that the making of the tabernacle is a new creation. Here, like in Genesis 1, when God created the heavens and the earth, we see the same pattern of creation. In Genesis 1, we see God saying, "Let there be light," and there was light. God said, "Let there be an expanse in the midst of the waters, and let it separate the waters from the waters," and it was so. See, that is the pattern. God says it, and it was so. That is what we are looking at in chapters 25 through 30 and chapters 35 through 39. In earlier chapters, chapters 25 to 30, we repeatedly read, "The Lord spoke to Moses, saying," see, God speaks the instructions. Then in chapters 35 to 39, we repeatedly see that everything is so. So whatever God says in chapters 25 to 30 is repeated, same thing is repeated, but it's about how it was so. God speaks instructions, And everything is done just as Lord had commanded Moses. So these two sections are almost identical. But one earlier section says God said to Moses. But in the later section, it says, just as Lord has commanded Moses, it was done. See how it is? So everything is done just as the Lord has said. That's the point. God speaks, and it was so. So building of the tabernacle is a new creation, just like the church is a new creation. But creation is the work of the Holy Spirit, but by the word of God. So in Genesis, you see God say, let there be light, but it was the Holy Spirit with that word creates the light. The tabernacle is the same. God says that this is how it's supposed to be. God says, then it was Holy Spirit giving the special skills to these people. And, you know, Holy Spirit makes sure that it was built just as what God has said. And that is so. And that same principle applies to the church. We are to do the church exactly according to what God has said. God says, and it is so. That's what church should be. It's a new creation. You know, I said this to some people. I don't know. Maybe I said it to all of you. But look at, God says, let there be light. Then not even one second later, there's light. But if you could imagine in your mind to stretch that 1 second, stretch it 1 second, stretch to about 80, 90 years. That's what our life is. If you could stretch 90 years and just compare that with 1 second, God says, let there be light, and light happens. God says to us, be like Christ. And it takes 80 years, 90 years, and it is so. That's what our life is all about. We are a new creation. And it is by the Word of God and by the work of the Holy Spirit. So you could picture your life and put that into that 1 second, you know, less than 1 second. In the Genesis, and you could see, oh, God speaks, and I'm going to be just as what He said. And His command is to be like Christ. Now, today, a lot of what we are looking at will be a review for us. And then, you know, don't say to yourself, oh, I heard that before, and just tune out. Don't do that. See, gospel is gospel. It has been the same gospel for last many, many thousands of years. There's nothing new when it comes to gospel. Because it's about Christ and you heard it before. But see, we need to know it deeper. Even as you hear the same thing, you need to know that truth in a deeper way. So you need to hear it again. And that is what God desires for us. It's not just collecting so many informations, but it's about understanding the truth in a deeper way. And you could go as deep as, I mean, there's no end to that deepness, or depth, I should say. So, what was the result of God's creation in Genesis 1? Well, the Garden of Eden. all 6 days of creation, and then we see the Garden of Eden. It was a holy place. Even before sin, the Garden of Eden was set apart from the rest of the world. We could see that when they were kicked out of the Garden of Eden, there were other parts of this world. But Garden of Eden was a set apart place. It was a holy place. It was a place where a special relationship with God was granted. When Adam and Eve sinned, they were driven out of that place. It points to the reality in which that special relationship with God is now broken. The Garden of Eden was a type of heaven. Now we read this in Genesis chapter 3, verse 24. So he drove the man out, and at the east of the Garden of Eden, he stationed a cherubim, it's plural form of, I don't know the singular form of cherubim, but it's angels. And flaming word, which turned every direction to guard the way to the tree of life. As you know, the tabernacle was also a type heaven. So whatever that Garden of Eden was pointing to, the tabernacle is pointing to the same thing, is heaven. In chapter 26, we read about the making of the curtains or sheets to cover the tabernacle and the veil that will divide the Holy of Holies from the Holies. Verse 1, it says, moreover, you shall make the tabernacle with 10 curtains of fine twisted linen and blue and purple and scarlet material. You shall make them with cherubim, the work of a skillful workman. And verse 31, you shall make a veil of blue and purple and scarlet material, fine twisted linen, same material that you read in chapter 1. It shall be made with cherubim, the work of a skillful workman. In Genesis 3, we saw cherubim guarding the entrance to the Garden of Eden. And here we see the same reality. It is as if cherubim are guarding the entrance to the Holy of Holies. Thus, a high priest to enter the Holy of Holies is like a sinner entering the Garden of Eden, passing the cherubim to the tree of life. In Genesis, the flaming sword symbolizes the holiness of God. A sinner to pass it through means a certain death. God is consuming fire. And same thing is seen in the tabernacle. The colors of materials that are used here reminded them of that flaming sword of Genesis 3. That curtain, or the veil, I should say, door, if you will, to the Holy of Holies points to the body of our Lord Jesus Christ. See, we're learning that in chapter, I guess it will be helpful if I could just give you a big picture. Chapter 26 is about when you go into, when you look at the tabernacle, there is a yard first, then there's a house. And we're learning about the wall, how we're going to build the wall of that house. And this house has two rooms. So, you know, the boards have to be like joined together, and we're learning about that. Then when everything is erected, they have to cover that tabernacle three times. So we're learning about how to make the three curtains, three coverings. Then there has to be door. One door in the front and the other door separates the holy and the Holy of Holies. That's what we're learning. Now, that door, or the curtain, or veil, it says in our text, to the Holy of Holies points to the body of Lord Jesus Christ. When Jesus dies on the cross, that curtain is torn. That door is torn from top to bottom. You see, Jesus is the door. John chapter 10, verse 9, Jesus says, I am the door. If anyone enters through me, he will be saved, and I will go in and out and find pasture. The curtain being torn points to the body of Christ being torn on the cross. Thus we read this in Hebrews chapter 10, verse 19 and 20. Therefore, brethren, since we have confidence to enter the holy place, meaning Holy of Holies, by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way, which he inaugurated for us through the veil, that is his flesh. So the veil, it says, is his flesh, his body. So on the cross, that body is torn. Symbolizes the entrance to the Holy of Holies is now opened. So through the torn body of Christ, the way to the heaven, the way to God is now opened, the way to the tree of life, and which is Jesus Christ also, is now opened. Like I said before, tabernacle, there's a court, there is the yard, then a house with two rooms, the Holy of Holies and the Holies. And in verses 15 to 30, then we are learning about instruction to build the walls of that house. Verse 15, then you shall make the boards for the tabernacle of acacia wood standing upright. Those boards' measurements are 10 cubits long, 1.5 cubits wide. And verse 17, there shall be two tenon. Literally, it means arms. So it's like these two boards has tenons, like me and you standing next to each other and have arms locked together. It's that, that's the image. Because literally this word, Hebrew word, means arms. So there shall be two tenons for each board, fitted to one another. Thus you shall do for all the boards of the tabernacle. So this wall of this tabernacle is like people of God standing together with their arms locked to one another, standing together. That's the picture. Understand? So, the southern wall is to be made with 20 boards. They are to make two sockets under each board, thus 40 sockets for the southern wall. These sockets were made of silver and believed to be all connected. And these sockets are used to hold the boards upright. I mean, these boards has to stand up, right? So we use the sockets. How does it look and all that? I don't know. But, you know, just get the point that they're standing up. As the boards go up, they are to put two tenons or arms at the bottom of the boards to fit into these sockets so that they stay up. The northern wall also will have 20 boards, but the west side, which is the back of the wall, will have 6 boards. Now, verse 23, it says, you shall make 2 boards for the corners of the tabernacle at the rear. With 6 boards, but at the corner, the back, the rear wall, those will be double. Verse 23, that's what it says, right? You shall make 2 boards for the corners of the tabernacle at the rear. Then we read verses 26 to 29, then you shall make bars of acacia wood, 5 for the boards of one side of the tabernacle and 5 bars for the boards of the other side of the tabernacle, 5 bars for the boards of the side of the tabernacle for the rear side to the west. The middle bar in the center of the board shall pass through from end to end, You shall overlay the bars with gold and make their rings of gold as the holders for the bars, and you shall overlay the bars with gold. Thus, now the three walls are up. Now, can you picture that? Three walls, right? The side walls and the rear. Now, verses 31 through 37 then, is the instruction concerning the entrances to the Holy of Holies and the Holies. The doors. So, from the east, there's no wall because that's going to be the entrance. Right? And there's a wall on the one side, another side, and the rear side. Now we're learning about what we do about entrances. The first entrance to the Holy of Holies. Verse 31. You shall make a veil of blue and purple and scarlet material and fine twisted linen. It shall be made with cherubim, the work of a skillful workman. They are to hang up the veil for the Holy of Holies on four pillars of acacia overlaid with gold. Their hooks also being of gold on four sockets of silver. And now for the entrance to the Holies, verse 36, you shall make a screen for the doorway of the tent of blue and purple and scarlet material and fine twisted linen, the work of a weaver. They are to hang it over the five pillars of acacia overlaid with gold, their hooks also being of gold, and they shall cast five sockets of bronze for them. So you have a pillars, five in the entrance to the first room, and four to the entrance to the second room. And you are to make a veil and hang it over. And how, and you know, if you want detail, I don't know. But you kind of picture how this is. Now, the tabernacle proper is now ready to be covered by the curtains. Our translation says curtains, but you could say tents, sheets. It's a covering. That is the, I think, best covering. So you have three walls erected, and there's two entrances, two doors. Now then, they are to cover this whole thing three times. Three layers of curtains or coverings. The first covering, you will read about in verse 1 through 6. And I'm not going to read that. 10 curtains of fine twisted linen and blue and purple and scarlet material. They are to make them with cherubim. The length of each curtain shall be 28 cubits and the width of each curtain 4 cubits. All the curtains shall have the same measurement. Now, 10 curtains, right? So, 5 curtains shall be joined to one another, and the other 5 curtains the same. And they are to make loops of blue on the edge of the outermost curtain in the first set of 5 curtains, and do the same for the second set of 5 curtains. They are to make 50 clefts of gold and join the curtains to one another with the clefts so that the tabernacle or the curtain. See, tabernacle means covering, curtain, tent. So that tabernacle will be a unit. So you have a big covering, the first covering. And chapter 26, verse 1 through 6 tells us about how to make that. From verses 7 through 13, we have the second covering. It is made with goat's hair. Thus, this one is made up of 11 curtains in all. The other one was 10, but this one is 11 because it goes over the first covering, so it has to be bigger than the first covering. The length of each curtain, 50 cubits, and the width, 4 cubits. They are to join 5 curtains together and join the other 6 curtains together And again, 50 loops on the edge of the curtain that is the outermost in the first set of five, and do the same for the second set of six. And verse 11, you shall make 50 clasps of bronze, and you shall put the clasps into the loops and join the 10 together so that it will be a unit. We're going to talk about this next time, but the tabernacle is a unit, but it's made up of all these separate units. Just like church. It's one church, one body of Christ, but we are made up of many, many people, many, many parts. Now, verse 14 is about the third covering. It is made with ram skin, dyed red, and covering of porpoise skin above, meaning that this covering, one covering with two layers, inside and outer side. So this is how they are to make the tabernacle. Now we've got to talk about the meaning. But today, I want to talk about very important meaning. We already have seen the tabernacle as a type of heaven, a symbol of heaven. Also, a symbol of God's people, the church. And these coverings are the symbol of God's glory. And that is how heaven will be. All of God's people will be a one body of Christ who will be united to each other because all of us are united to Christ. And we will live in that glorious place, like we will stand next to one another, if you will. And we're going to be dwelling place of God, meaning we're going to be a house. So you and I, we're going to be walls, the boards to become wall of the house of God, if you will. See? And God's glory will cover all of us. That's what heaven is. That's what tabernacle is. That's the picture. So Isaiah chapter 4, verse 2 to 6, the Old Testament way of describing heaven, it says this: in that day, the branch of the Lord will be beautiful and glorious, and fruit of the earth will be the pride and the adornment of the survivors of Israel. It will come about that he who is left in Zion and remains in Jerusalem will be called holy. Everyone who is recorded for life in Jerusalem. When the Lord has washed away the filth of the daughters of Zion and purged the bloodshed of Jerusalem from her midst, by the spirit of judgment and the spirit of burning, then the Lord will create over the whole area of Mount Zion and over her assembly a cloud by day, even smoke, and the brightness of a flaming fire by night, for over all the glory will be a canopy. So heaven is described as there will be canopy over that glorious place. And that canopy is the glory of God. Just like this tabernacle that we are looking at. There will be a shelter to give shade from the heat by day, and refuge and protection from the storm and the rain. We see the same reality in Revelation 21. There we see the new heavens and the new earth, and we read there, behold, the tabernacle of God is among men. Covering of God is among men. Glory of God covering his people. You could look at this reality in an individual sense. And in the Old Testament, we see this in the priest. When priest goes into that Holy of Holies, he is covered with the priestly garment. Typologically, he is covered with God's glory. This points to the new creation of man, This points to the resurrection. You and I will be covered with the glory of God as we have that glorified body when we resurrect from the dead. Now, when you read Numbers chapter 15, verse 37 through 40, the Lord also spoke to Moses, saying, "Speak to the sons of Israel and tell them that they shall make for themselves tassels on the corners of their garments throughout their generations, and that they shall put on the tassel of each corner a cord of blue. It shall be a tassel for you for to look at and remember all the commandments of the Lord, so as to do them and not follow after your own heart and your own eyes, after which you play the harlot, so that you may remember to do all my commandments and be holy to your God." Tassels on the corners of their garments. And this has to be the core of blue. Now, we see the similar thing in the instruction to make the outer covering. There it says, "Make loops of blue on the edge of the most outer curtain." But individually, you are to do the same to your garment, so that you may remember to be holy to your God, a call to be holy to our God. Because the covering is God's glory and God's holiness. That's the picture. We will be glorified when we resurrect from the dead. We will be covered with God's glory and His holiness. And 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 1 through 5 says, "For we know that if the earthly tent, earthly covering right now, which is our house, is torn down, we have a building from God, a house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. For indeed, in this house we groan, longing to be clothed with our dwelling from heaven, inasmuch as we, having put it on, will not be found naked. For indeed, while we are in this tent, we groan, being burdened, because we do not want to be unclothed, but to be clothed, so that what is mortal will be swallowed up by life. Now he who prepared us for this very purpose is God, who gave to us the Spirit as a pledge." So he talks about our body as a tent, as a covering, as a house. All points back to the tabernacle. It's a house, but it's a covering. And it's like clothing, as we see in the case of priest. Now, today, I would like to end with this. This covering with tent made out of linen, meaning clothing material. This covering also points to something else. And this is clearly shown in Ruth chapter 3, verse 9. He said, "Who are you?" And she answered, "I'm Ruth, your maid. So spread your covering over your maid, for you are a close relative." Ruth says to Boaz, "Spread your covering over me." In other words, marry me. So maybe you guys, if you want to ask someone to marry you, you could say, spread. No, it should be girl saying to the guy. Yeah. Spread your, you see, like, so be careful, you guys, giving your overcoat to your girlfriend or friend, because that's Old Testament way of, "I'm marrying you." Covering. Ezekiel chapter 16, verse 8 through 10. "Then I passed by you," God says, "and saw you, and behold, you were at the time for love. So I spread my skirt over you and covered your nakedness. I also swore to you and entered into a covenant with you so that you became mine, declares the Lord God. Then I bathe you with water, washed off your blood from you, and anointed with you with oil. And I also clothe you with embroidered clothes, and put sandals of purple skin on your feet. And I wrap you with fine linen, and cover you with silk. You hear all those things that we heard it, all the materials that is used to build the tabernacle. It is used here. But it's talking about God foreseeing the sinners, you and I, and He wanted to marry us. So He bathed us with His blood. He clothed us with His righteousness. And He says, He described this wedding like this: I spread my skirt over you and covered you. So what are we looking at in the tabernacle? As the tabernacle is covered, God covers us with His glory, with His righteousness. The book of Revelation describes this glory and this righteousness as the white robe. And it became white because it is washed with the blood of Jesus Christ. It is our wedding garment. And God is covering you and me. Our nakedness, our sinfulness, He covers it with His glory and His righteousness and His holiness. That is what we are looking at when we are looking at the tabernacle. That's a beautiful picture. God's house, God's people, covered with His glory. Which means we are wearing that wedding garment and we are marrying our God. See, this is what I need you to see in the tabernacle of the Old Testament. This is our eternal heavenly reality in Jesus Christ. We are the bride of our Lord Jesus Christ. We are holy and blameless because now we are washed with the blood of Christ and we are covered with His glory. Psalm 27 verse 4, one thing I have asked from the Lord, that I shall seek, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to behold the beauty of the Lord and to meditate in His temple. We dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my and your eternal life. Not just one day of a year like the high priest of the Old Testament, but all the days of my eternal life, forever and ever, we dwell in the house of the Lord. House of the Lord, which was covered. And that covering symbolized God's glory. And you and I will dwell in the house of the Lord because we are His house. And we are covered forever and ever with the glory of God. So we dwell in His house forever and ever. And behold the beauty of our Lord. That's how heaven will be. But remember, brothers and sisters, this is our present spiritual reality in Jesus Christ. We dwell under God's covering now. Spiritually, we are already covered with His glory. Look at that tabernacle and see your reality that Christ has accomplished for you. We'll continue next time. Let's pray. Father, we thank You. What You show us through Your Word is so beautiful. It is so amazing.
It is about our Lord Jesus Christ, and because of it, it is also about us. That He is the true tabernacle, but in Him, we are also your tabernacle. When we see that tabernacle, it is covered with the glory of God. And we are covered with the glory of God. Oh, Father, we thank you that we are your dwelling place forever and ever. And we are able to dwell in your house forever and ever. Let us dwell together with you forever and ever, having that sweet fellowship of heaven. Let us get to know you deeper and deeper. Let us know you more and more. As you teach us the truth. We thank you, Father, and we love you. Pray all this in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.